This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
All right, today we're going to spend some time honoring a legend of Denver sports, and honestly, the NBA, and Doug Moe. Sean Keeler will join us later on in the program. Keeling Me Softly, we'll talk about the legend that was Doug Moe. It's one of those coaches I really wish, that's one of those I really wish I could have seen do his thing in his prime. Also, Brooke Richards is going to join me, Director of Strategic Communication for UNC. Are lights coming to UNC for their football field at Butler Hancock? We'll get into it. The whole show starts now. Field though. Lights to Nottingham Field, wouldn't that be fantastic? Sounds like we're closer than maybe we've ever been to getting lights. Ann Delaney put together a piece in the Greeley Tribune. UNC Bears Athletics wants lights at Greeley's Nottingham Field this year. Total cost of a $1.6 million charge here to be paid for with donations. So it would be outside of the university budget, the university money. Full cost not to exceed $1.6 million. Funding commitments or pledges for the project cost prior to starting with 50% or more of the funding to be received by December and the rest no later than December 2028. This could happen next fall. This could very well happen next fall. So we're going to talk to Brooke Richards about that coming up for the UNC Bears. Excited about that conversation, but that was an interesting write-up in the Greeley Tribune by Ann Delaney. We had Football 52 this morning. Ed didn't even bring that up, maybe because they're not really supposed to talk about it, and if they are going to talk about it, they want people like Brooke to talk about it, but we'll see. We'll get into that. We'll get into that story. Doug Moe was, listen, Doug Moe was a guy that, I mean, he was the coach from, what, 80 to 90? He was an amazing coach. And I've been just reading up on, I mean, he was a coach for a long time, obviously. He was a coach with the Spurs over his career, 628 and 529 in his 15 years as a head coach in the NBA. But with the Nuggets, he was there from 1980 to 1990. And this was a guy that my dad just absolutely loved. And he had like clippings of him up in his office, all newspaper clippings all the time. And he loved him. My brother loved him. So it kind of just got me thinking, like, again, about great coaches. And we'll kind of do this. We'll sprinkle this throughout the day today. But the Mount Rushmore of city of Denver, because if you say Colorado coaches, you think Colorado Buffaloes. Mount Rushmore of city of Denver coaches. And I've already got someone throwing Sonny Lubick in there. This, I think, is a pro question. Because if you're going to do a Rushmore, it's going to be a pro question. I mean, Shanahan's the most obvious on there. So I want to get to this. Shanahan, obviously. Where does Doug Moe fit? Obviously, if you do a Mount Rushmore of Denver Nuggets coaches, it's Doug Moe, it's George Karl, it's Michael Malone, and I don't know. But just some fun stuff about Doug Moe. Now, he was the guy that we used to do an interview years ago with a guy. Nate Timmons was his name. He was a Nuggets beat writer for Denver Stiffs. And that was Doug Moe's word, man. That was his word, was Stiffs. And it's like for a guy that tries really hard, a hardworking guy. You know, and just no matter what, even if things aren't going great, they're still busting their tail, working their butt off, and just working. He called Bill Hanslick a stiff, and he said he was one of the stiffs. And so that publication came out, and I think it was an ode to Doug Moe. I mean, he made the playoffs 9 straight years during his time with the Nuggets as the head coach. Now he came back to he came over to the Nuggets to be with his long-term his teammate Larry Brown at you know, they were teammates at UNC, where Doug Moe played at the University of North Carolina, and he was a 2-time All-American guy, so he was a hell of a player. He loved the game so much, he would go on to play at random churches, and he was starting to get a little bit of a name, so he would change his name everywhere he'd go. He just changed his name. That way they wouldn't know where he was, what he was doing. And he was a character, man. Even when the Nuggets were struggling, which he really hammered home that run and gun style of offense. They were high flying, they were moving fast. I think one of Keeler's notes in his article was that a longtime assistant of Doug Moe's said, some of the assistant coaches suggesting, should we draw up a couple of plays for Alex English? You know, just drop a couple of plays. It's like, no, if we start drawing up plays, then they're not going to want to run. So his thing was like, no, we're going to go. In that big year, I think it was 85 when they went to the Western Conference Finals, they averaged 121 points per game. That was a big deal back then. They were a fun offense. You know, Fat Lever and Alex English and Dan Issel, Calvin Natt. Great players that I unfortunately didn't get a chance to really watch or appreciate when I was little. And Doug Moe's time was done when I was like 5 as the head coach of the Nuggets. But his suits, you know, Dad would have pictures of the clippings of him up in those suits, man. I mean, he looked like he was ready to audition for some kind of a disco movie sometimes. And he has another interesting story too. Like he was in the NBA. He made it to the NBA, but he didn't get to really play because of kind of what happened to him. You know, he was involved in like a point shaving scandal. Now I want to be really clear on this. He refused that. He was interested in, I guess, learning about what it was. So his collegiate career ended in controversy due to a point shaving scandal in 1961. And the reason I bring this up is not to highlight a negative of a legend that passed. It's to highlight the fact that he said no. It was in the summer of 1960, before his senior year. He did receive $75 from conspirator Aaron Wagman to fly to a meeting in New Jersey, arranged by Moe's teammate and friend, also a conspirator in this, was Lou Brown. So again, reading and doing research on this, I mean, it sounds like he was more of like, this is a good friend of mine, he's asking me to go talk to this guy, so I'll go. So he received $75 to fly to a meeting in New Jersey. But when Moe got there, the offer was, and maybe he was just trying to learn more about what he was talking about, the offer was for him to throw games. He turned it down. He was cleared of fixing games. He was suspended by North Carolina for initially denying any knowledge of the scandal. And again, I bring this up to highlight he was probably doing something for a friend. From everything that I've read and the research that I've done, you know, from last night to this morning, just looking and reading through different things, and wanted to just kind of see what the guy had to say, I guess. And it was a different time back then. These guys were not making the money. Not saying it's right, but he turned it down. So I maintain through quotes and different resources that he was simply doing this because his friend Lou Brown was a part of this, and he said, okay, fine, I'll go hear the guy out. And then he kept it under wraps because he didn't want to rat on anybody. And so he goes to this, says, no, I'm not doing it. So then he was drafted by the Pistons in the 7th round of the 1960 NBA draft, but then they did redrafting back then. He was redrafted by the Chicago Packers, which is now the Washington Wizards, in the 61 draft. He signed with the Packers, but they refused to honor the contract because that's when the point-shaving scandal broke, and then the NBA blackballed him as a player the rest of the way through. So he spent some time in the Army and sold insurance for a while. And then he got into coaching. And he became pretty damn good coach, man. His first stint with the Nuggets was 1974 through 1976. He followed Larry Brown to Denver. He played with Larry Brown at UNC. And they were pretty good then. Then he went and got a job with the Spurs, and he was there for 4 years. And then he came back to Denver. And he coached one of the best Nuggets teams in franchise history, and that was the 1985 Denver Nuggets, who went to the Western Conference Finals, ultimately lost to the Lakers. I think it was a best of five then, and they lost 4-1. Keep in mind, Alex English broke his thumb in game four. You know, they were heavy underdogs. Nobody believed they could win. That was the Showtime Lakers. But they won the second game, tried to change their mindset, lost that, then came back out. Alex English had 28 points in that game in game four and then broke his thumb. And from that point, it was like the wind was just absolutely taken out of their sails. He was a character. When he was fired by the Nuggets in the 90s, he and his wife, we call her Big Jane, called her that. He wore a Hawaiian shirt and brought champagne to the press conference because he was celebrating. He was celebrating basically like, hey, I'm getting paid to not work anymore. So we'll go do that. I mean, that's one of the craziest stories you'll ever hear as far as like when a coach is actually fired from a team. So it's just a, you know, he was a character, man. He didn't take himself too seriously. Now, he did flip out at officials, and he did get fined by the NBA once because he was tired of his team's defense. Michael, you'll appreciate this. They weren't playing really great defense that particular game. So he basically just told his guys, stop playing defense at all. Just let him go. Just let him get in. Let him go for layups. He was frustrated with foul calls and lack of foul calls. So he just tells his guys, let him go. NBA gets pissed. He gets fined for that. I like those kind of stories, man. So this one I found too. I dug this one up. He actually met Vice President at the time in 1961, Richard Nixon. And this kind of shows you who Doug Moe was, man. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know. He was scared. He had a fear of flying early in his career. He tried to read a book to distract himself. He sees Nixon. Nixon was introduced to Moe by a coach. Nixon stated that this guy, Moe, must be the student in the group. Basically saying, you must be the student because you don't seem very confident. You're not talking. You're not looking me in the eye, whatever. And Moe didn't know who it was and said, what are you, some kind of a wise guy? that guy, man, that's one. I tweeted this out earlier. Like, that's a guy that I really wished, you know, that's one of them that I wish I could go back and watch him in his prime. You know, on the sidelines, listening to his press conferences, all of those things. Yeah, because again, my dad was a diehard fan. My brother was a diehard fan. And he was a legend. He's got to, if he's not on your Mount Rushmore of Denver coaches, he's certainly got to be close. That game was against the Blazers. He was so upset with the lack of effort during a blowout loss to Portland. He commanded his team to stop trying on defense at all and to let the Blazers make layups at will over the final minutes to set the franchise scoring record for a single game. He had no problem with that being on his resume. No issue with that. Then, like a couple of weeks later, he was then fined for throwing water on an official. I'm not condoning that, obviously, but it's just he was a character of the game, man. He was a legend of the game. And you have to absolutely love. Some call it his lowest moment. He was fired by the Nuggets in 1990. He wore a Hawaiian shirt. And he popped open champagne at the news conference with his wife, whom he called Big Jane, she looked on. And so he viewed it as a day to celebrate, he insisted, because he would now be getting paid to do nothing. It's kind of like the Orgeron story, too. You know, if I would have known I was getting $15 million to be fired, I would have suggested you guys do it sooner. Now, Doug Moe, legend of the game. No question about it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You said, Chris, Brady, can you give out some periodic updates on Canada hockey and Olympics? Aren't they tied? Is that over yet? I just pulled it up. The guys had it on in the back, but no, Canada won in overtime. So the United States will take on Sweden at 1:10 today, so about 2 hours away. And we're getting to it, man. We're in the quarterfinals right now. I was listening to Tanner and Brian, and Tanner's a little squeamish here because they're going up against Gabriel Landeskog of Sweden this afternoon. Will he be enough to overcome Team USA?
Gabriel Landeskog.
Whoever said we didn't say it right, we're saying it exactly like he said it.
Gabriel Landeskog.
Said it exactly right.
Gabriel Landeskog.
Yeah, perfect. All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brooke Richards is going to join us. Lights to Nottingham Field. How realistic is that? And how realistic is that it could be next fall? This coming fall, 2026. The schedule's already set, so, but still, to be able to have night games in Greeley would be fantastic. It'd be a huge
deal. That's a step up.
It's a huge step up.
And it's is it a step up in recruiting and
yes.
commitment to the football team?
I think that's just another thing. Because guys, like, you like playing under the lights, man. Because what do most high school kids do?
I mean, District 6 Stadium has been under the lights.
Most high schools play under the lights because most high schools, most of the time, you're playing on Friday night. Sometimes you play Thursdays. Sometimes you play Saturdays. Playoffs are Saturdays. But most of your football games, if you were a high school football player, most of your football games were on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And so you still carry that, man, something about it. The lights are on.
I mean, it's called Friday Night Lights for something.
Yeah, so you like that. That's a good thing. So how important is that they get this thing done? And it doesn't sound like it's going to be a part of the school's budget to do this. It would be all outside donors. Upwards of $1.6 million. So 22 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. And we're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Update for you, Eastside Chris. USA is losing to Great Britain in the curling match right now on the women's side, 4-3. I'm just giving you whatever I see on TV. It could be live. It could have been recorded a while ago, but that's what I've got for you right now.
Curling the thing with the brooms.
Yeah. You a fan?
I mean, the only good thing about the Winter Olympics that I can think of is hockey.
If you're going to be a negative Nancy. Brady, I also added that I loved Mo and the Nuggets back then. Played a lot of Nerf hoops on door while listening to games. Great era. Yeah, it was, and it wasn't really an era that I was a part of, just historically speaking, from what my family experienced watching the Nuggets and what a lot of my peers experienced watching the Nuggets. Doug Moe is definitely one of those guys, though, that I wish I could have followed, like talked about on a radio show. Getting random clips from him would have been awesome. He would have been a great coach in the social media world, I think. Yeah, he was a great coach anyway. Good luck with your 28-game growth. Are we doing 28? Is that for sure? Is that the thing? We're not going with the dirty 30?
I think we go dirty 30.
Well, they've already decided. I mean, in fairness, I got to let Tanner decide on this one because I'm the one who overrode him and did 35 last year. So it's his turn to set the rules.
His turn to be wrong?
It doesn't. It's not really wrong or right. 28 games, 30 games. Dirty 30
is better.
Dirty 30 would be better, in my opinion. But in this case, for once, Michael, I don't make the rules. So we're going with the... What are we going to? The wait for 28? The wait for 28? Something like that. 29 minutes after the hour. So there you go. I'll try to update you, Eastside Chris, as much as I can. But yeah, curling 4-3. We got a tight one there. I'm assuming that's a tight score. And the curling matchup right now. Brooke Richards is going to join me, Director of Strategic Communications for the University of Northern Colorado. And we're going to reference Ann Delaney's article in the Greeley Tribune. Talk about lights in the big city of G-Town at Nottingham Field, and how realistic is that in the foreseeable future. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Okay, good job, Mike. Scrambling back there. Michael got it. You got it, man. It's been a stressful day back there with technology acting up, but Michael just hit a home run. Good job. Good job, man.
I prefer through a touchdown.
It doesn't
spiral.
Matter. That's fine. If you want to argue, 50. If you want to argue with me on my compliments to you now, then we can do that.
Triple coverage.
Joining me now, Brooke Richards, Director of Strategic Communication for the University of Northern Colorado. Brooke, long time no chat. Always good to catch up with you, my friend.
Hey, how are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, and I saw this story in the Tribune by the wonderful Ann Delaney talking about lights and Nottingham Stadium and all of that, and I thought, I'm going to text Brooke and see what's going on with this thing.
Yeah, we're super excited. We're hoping that we can make it happen. There's a lot of stuff that obviously needs to fall into place to make it work for sure to get lights in by this fall, but we're excited about it.
That's what actually was really... really, really caught my attention was the fact that this could be potentially done by next fall.
Yeah, I think that our senior level administration, it's just always been on the back of their minds. Like, it's something we've always wanted. We're the only team in the Big Sky that doesn't have lights, so we're trying to really just align with the conference. And so I think that they were always trying to make it happen, and it's just whether or not they could get it to happen or not. And so I think they're kind of figuring out ways to really get it done.
And Brooke, like, I don't know, maybe you can't answer this, and if you can't, that's fine, but I always wondered, like, what was it? Was it just money? Was it, because you hear rumors, you hear, well, the neighborhood surrounding there wasn't crazy about lights, maybe it was just money. What was the reason? Do you have the reason why we haven't had lights at this point? Is it just a money thing?
Yeah, honestly, like, I really don't know. I haven't been told. We haven't really talked about it. I think something that especially Darren is really big on is, like, private funding. The Empower Center, the new weight room that was built recently, that was all privately funded, and it just really helped us to take the ease off of, like, the financial burden. And it kind of makes it more of a community project rather than, like, a UNC project.
Brooke Richards joining us, Director of Strategic Communication for the University of Northern Colorado. So what Ann writes here is it's a $1.6 million project. And as you mentioned, this would be funded through private support and sponsorship revenue with no university money involved. Is now we're kind of just at that point where still trying to get some commitments confirmed at this stage?
Yeah, basically. So it's just a lot of, like, deadlines. So tomorrow the Board of Trustees for the university is going to vote on it. And if that gets approved by them, then that's going to basically give us the green light to keep trying to get funding for it. The really big date that we need to hit is April 1st of this year. If the necessary commitments and approvals are not secured by April 1st, then it will be postponed. And then a new approval request would be required. So at least 50% of the funding must be received. If that gets approved, then 50% of the funding would be received by December 26th. And then the remainder would be December 2028.
Okay. So even if like, okay, people want to hold off a bid, it doesn't get approved by this certain time, that doesn't, it just means, hey, we can't start it next year, but we can get this thing rolling for the following fall.
Yeah, they can get, it's like the same process, basically. I do think that the big thing in this current proposal is that it's kind of based on a June 2024 code compliant design, and it's got like supposed to assume construction in 26. So I think that if it gets pushed back another year, then they would have to come up with basically a new plan.
Wow. Wow. This is exciting. So to potentially have this ready to go by next fall, and if not, you know, maybe in the near future after that. Either way, it's really exciting because this has been a thing Bears fans have wanted as long as I've been up here. And I know it's been a lot longer than that. I've been up here since 2005, but that's always been something. Just the idea to have the option to play night games at Nottingham Field.
Yeah, and there's so much that goes into it, so many benefits. It's really exciting that we're even to this point where we're, like, proposing it to the board. I think that that gives a lot of fans and donors and even, like, students, non-athletic students, a lot of excitement. Students really like that game day experience, and I think when it comes to, you know, like tailgating at 9 a.m. or at 3 p.m., like that makes a big difference. And if they want to come to the game or not, there's a lot more like activations we can do during the game, marketing wise. So it's really exciting. There's just a lot more benefits than kind of negatives at this point.
Well, and like a recruiting thing too. We were just talking about that earlier. I mean, a lot of the new guys that come to UNC, they're high school, you know, they just came from high school and they're used to playing under the lights. Typically, if you play high school football, you might play some Thursdays, just playoffs are during the day, Saturday, but most of your games, if you play high school football, are going to be Friday nights, of course, under the lights. So that, I would imagine, is another great selling point to come to the University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, I think that would be huge for Coach Lamb and his staff to be able to add that. I mean, anyone who's been to a football game, like day or night, there's just a different energy at night. It's a lot more intense, it kind of feels. And it kind of helps, too, with, like, families and any fans that work during the day who aren't able to come to games but want to, like, strictly because they're all at, you know, 12 or 1 p.m. kickoff. They're not able to come. So I think that we'd be able to really expand our fan base with this.
Oh, no question. And how does that impact, if this does all get approved and everything's ready to go for the fall of 2026, I mean, now I know with your schedule, like you don't have any of the times set yet. You have the dates set, but not the time. So potentially we could see Bears football under the lights next year.
Yeah, that's the hope for sure. We're trying to get it done, but there's no guarantees. So when we talk about it, it's like, if we do this. So we're definitely, it's kind of hard because we're essentially planning for two separate seasons. Just depending on if we're able to get the light project done or not.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to this happening. Of course, assuming that everybody wants to give this the green light and we can get cooking with this. I'm excited about it. But as you mentioned, the UNC Board of Trustees will discuss the project at, did you say February 20th, Brooke?
Yeah, tomorrow. I believe the meeting starts at 8:30 and then they kind of roll through that meeting all day voting on stuff. So
we should know tomorrow at some point then, right?
Yeah, if we get the green light to keep pushing through.
All right. Well, we'll be crossing our fingers here because I know as sports fans and I know what you do on the sports side, this would be really exciting for the football program and going forward. I think this would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be huge. And Coach Lamb is super excited about the possibility. So we're all excited.
Hey, you got to be proud of Coach Lamb because he's not spilling the beans to me because we got in for the podcast this morning. I said, hey, what should we talk about? And he didn't bring it up. So I think he was probably like, hey, I don't know how much I can talk about just yet. So I'm guessing that'll be something for next week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I am. He's like the most open coach that we have when it comes to media stuff, so I am proud.
Well, I appreciate you, Brooke. Keep up the great work, and we'll look to catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Brady.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Brooke Richards, Director of Strategic Communication for the University of Northern Colorado. The $1.6 million project would be funded through private support and sponsorship revenue with no university money involved. And so she said, like, Darren Dunn, athletic director, is big on getting privately funded stuff that's not a part of, if they have to take it out of their budget, that's when it gets more difficult. Yes, Michael.
Well, I was wondering, and I wish I had thought about this earlier, but if they were falling short of corporate sponsorship,
you got a few bones to throw at them?
Would they be open to adding crowdfunding?
Like anybody could just donate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, hey, we're going to put it up on one of these crowdfunding websites and see what the fans will do.
Through private support and sponsorship revenue. So private support would be, wouldn't that be anybody could do?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the PBS does that. You know, you could donate a certain amount. You get a UNC mug, donate a certain amount. You get a...
How much can I put you down for?
I don't have money.
Well, this is your bright idea. I figured you'd be the first one to donate. This is your idea.
I don't
idea.
Think it was my... I'm sure someone
this
else has
idea.
Come up with
first time
my,
I've ever
that
heard
idea
it. You
first.
Owe money to the Bears. You've already said it on the air. You owe money to them. They will be collecting soon.
All right. I think I have $5 in my wallet.
That'll get us going.
But
We're
$5 want a
brick left.
With my name by the field.
We're $5 left. Yes, I'm sure they would do that. Eastside Chris, is adjacent locker rooms to the field being considered? To my knowledge, no. Is that a future dream? Yes. But it took this long to do lights.
So the answer is no.
Well, I mean, what do you think would cost more, a locker room or lights?
I'm going to say locker room.
I think so. Yeah. So I think, unfortunately...
Unless you want to mash
things. Now, I could be wrong. And I'll be sure to ask that to Coach Lamb next week on Football 52. Because that was, and I'll give you full disclosure here, that was Ed McCaffrey's vision. When I sat down, or rather stood out in the snow on the new field for 3 hours while it was snowing. I don't think he felt cold. I did. He walked me around and showed me everything that he wanted to do and was hoping to build here at UNC. And one of those things, because again, the new turf was during the Ed McCaffrey time, and from my knowledge, it was donors that he knew supported that cause. And when I was having conversations with Ed McCaffrey, next step was they wanted to get a locker room that was by the field so they didn't have to go across the parking lot and go in through the gym, and the visiting team wouldn't have to be on the other side of the gym. And again, their locker room doesn't – you can't have like a big team meeting in there. So they did it outside in the gym. So that would probably – that's the next dream, I would imagine – for this program, is to have something like that. Yeah. What, Michael?
According to a website called School Construction News, a locker room could cost approximately $1,000 per locker or $10,000 per locker, depending on how big your school is.
Just the locker?
So if, say, you have like 80 players, they're spending like $10,000 per locker. I'm assuming that means the University of Texas has $80,000 locker room.
Plus they're going to have their locker room, and it's not just going to be lockers, you know. It's going to be a nice
So they spent $80,000 on that.
They're going to have water, showers, you know, all that stuff into
heaters.
Yeah, so I would imagine that project is quite a bit more than 1.6, right?
Yeah, plus you have to reroute water. You have to dig up some stuff, reroute water there.
Would that also come with making a visiting locker room, or do you say you guys can still walk across? But that sucks, because nobody wants to come here and play if they still have to walk across the parking lot to go to their locker room.
Yeah, I would say that comes with a visiting locker room, but you spend $500 instead of $1,000. By the way, that $1,000 is for Division II, So I'm guessing you're looking more and like
$2,000. It's going to be nice. You know, if you're going to do it, it's going to be a nice, somewhat nice. I'm not talking about making it like the Broncos or the Nuggets locker rooms that look like just hangouts.
You're not going to have Texas.
But you're going to have, it's going to be okay and comfortable, and you're going to have showers and toilets and all that stuff. So that's going to be a pretty hefty bill that they would also have to get private support and sponsorship revenue from.
Yeah, they'll definitely.
Mysterio says probably around $10 million to get it done upright. So if we can't get 1.6, if it takes forever to get 1.6. Now again, depends on who you believe. Mysterio, maybe you even know more than me on this. I always heard mixed things. It was the money, but it was also the surrounding neighborhood. That didn't want lights there. So clearly the surrounding neighborhood is cool now, and they're like, yeah, it's fine.
I would see if
maybe
it was
those
me.
People died off and there's new owners in the houses and they're like, yeah, that's fine. That's cool.
If it was me, I'd say there's this thing called curtains.
Dude, we live.
And there's this thing called
I live right by the Timnath High School, the new one. It's awesome. And it's so freaking cool to go out into my backyard and see the lights up and I can hear the PA guy. And if there's a touchdown, it's so cool, man. And they're done by, like you said, they're done by 9:30 on a Friday night for a handful of weeks. It's cool, man. And everybody in my neighborhood, even if they're not football fans, they all seem to kind of like it.
Yeah, there are more people around Canvas Stadium than there are going to be at UNC's field. I'm sure the people at Canvas Stadium probably have more of a beef than the people in that neighborhood in Greeley. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. It's only 6 weeks.
The
out
people
of the year.
At Canvas, though, they were more, people around there were more concerned about their early morning practices when they blare the music, which I can see that being kind of sucky.
Yeah, especially with the type of music they're probably playing.
Well, either way, you can't always hear it word for word, but if it's bass and yeah, that kind of stuff. 11:50 the time. Mysterio says, if surrounding neighbors can deal with UNC hill sledders, they can deal with the lights. Yeah, I mean, come on. It's not that big a deal. Let's get it done. Why don't we want cool things in Greeley? To those neighborhoods that were like, I don't want lights here. I don't want the Eagles here.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I fear change. Let's make it a small town. I want four people to be here.
I'm kind of half that way because I do like the small town feel. I also
then go to a small town.
I also understand the need to develop and get bigger and have more things.
Go move to a small town if you don't like. Greeley's been a big town for a long time, and it was only going to get bigger.
Been big ever since I moved here in 2001.
And you moved here in 2001. If you did any kind of research, you knew this thing was gonna blow up.
I did zero research whatsoever. Well, my research was Ames Community College is right over there.
11:51 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, he said, Chris. Growing up in Fort Morgan, we had lights in the 70s, small market. The Cheyenne Wells have lights? Yeah, they had lights. All high schools have lights, man. I don't know the difference of what a high school has to have compared to what a Division I football team has to have. But yeah, high schools all pretty much have lights.
I bet it started out as the neighborhood didn't want it. And that was the problem 20, 30 years ago. And now the issue is more of a budgetary thing.
We'll see. $1.6 million is what it's going to take, and they're going to vote on that. The Board of Trustees sounds like tomorrow. So we'll know by the end of the week for sure if lights are going to be happening as soon as next fall for the UNC Bears. All right, coming up next, we got top stories of the day. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.